Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. We'll be hearing from MEP Guy Verhofstadt about the launch of the multilingual digital platform for the Conference on the Future of Europe. We'll also be hearing from Margaret Vestager, Executive Vice President for Europe Fit for the Digital Age, about the European Commission's recent proposals for new rules and actions for excellence and trust in AI or artificial intelligence. And we'll have some great music from Denmark and Italy for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme, Europe Today. Ireland was one of only a few countries in Europe which actually recorded an increase in road fatalities in 2020. According to new statistics from the EU Commission, road deaths in Europe as a whole decreased by an unprecedented 70%, with far fewer people making journeys because of COVID lockdowns. New figures show that Ireland recorded 30 deaths per million of population last year compared to 29 per million the previous year, an increase of 6%. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says despite the recent increase in fatalities, Irish roads are among the safest in the world.
Ireland still has some of the safest roads in the world. Some progress has been made in Ireland over the years, and since 2010, road fatalities are down by 30%. The EU would like to bring deaths for all modes of transport down to zero.
84% of Irish people say Ireland should remain in the European Union, according to a new opinion poll published recently. The Red Sea poll for the European movement also found that 48% of Irish people have confidence in the EU COVID vaccination strategy. The survey found that only one in three Irish people believe there will be a united Ireland by 2031. Stephen O'Shea of the European Movement in Ireland say the figures show that support for EU membership has slipped slightly in recent years.
84% of people agree that Ireland should remain a member of the EU. Now, that's broadly consistent with last year, but it's down about 5 or 6% since 2016. And so it has kind of been fluctuating a little bit over the years with Brexit and everything else. But broadly, support for the European Union remains strong.
Almost 4 in 10 children in Ireland under 3 years of age are cared for by their parents, compared to nearly half across the EU. A Eurostat survey also shows that 42% of our youngest children are in formal care, a higher proportion than the EU figure of 35%. 32% are cared for by their grandparents here, compared to the European average of a 25%. Tim Hayes of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the proportion of children under 3 cared for only by their parents is lowest in the Netherlands.
The share of children under 3 years of age cared for only by their parents varied considerably between countries, from about 2 out of 10 in the Netherlands to almost 7 out of 10 in Bulgaria.
The European Consumer Centre is advising Irish people considering going on holiday later in the summer to book package breaks. It says package holidays give EU consumers greater redress options where a dispute may occur. The centre says it's important to book a holiday that can be cancelled or moved and contains a refund provision. Cyril Sullivan of the ECC Ireland says holidays booked via credit or debit cards within the EU provide greater security in the event of a problem.
A package holiday is protected under EU law, so therefore you can get your money back if you decide to cancel. Depending on the circumstances, you can get all your money back. And then finally, we're saying that in terms of payment options, make sure that you pay with your credit card, debit card, through PayPal, or one of the payment platforms, so that if all else fails, that you're able to make an application for a refund.
Self-employed people in Ireland lost more income last year than their counterparts in all other EU states. An EU review has found that people working for themselves here saw their incomes fall during the pandemic by 12% in 2020. The figure compares to a loss of income of just over 4% for employees. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says the figures show that self-employed people in Ireland took the biggest hit of all.
National social security systems in general provide lower coverage and compensation for the self-employed. So even though many countries introduce temporary measures to support the income of the self-employed, it appears that those working for themselves in Ireland have had one of the hardest battles to make ends meet.
The executive board of the Conference on the Future of Europe, comprising representatives from the European Parliament, the Council of the European Union and the European Commission, launched the multilingual digital platform for the Conference on the Future of Europe, inviting all EU citizens to contribute to shaping their own future and that of Europe as a whole. The platform is available in 24 languages, allowing citizens from across the Union to share and exchange their ideas and views through online events. The multilingual digital platform is fully interactive and multilingual. People can engage with one another and discuss their proposals with fellow citizens from all member states in the EU's 24 official languages. People from all walks of life and in numbers as large as possible are encouraged to contribute via the platform in shaping their future, but also to promote it on social media channels with the hashtag #TheFutureIsYours. For more information, you can search the web for a digital platform for the Conference on the Future. Launching of the multilingual digital platform for the Conference on the Future of Europe occurred 70 years after the historical signature on the 18th of April 1951 of the Treaty of Paris, establishing the European Coal and Steel Community, which would pave the way for the European Communities and later the European Union. MEP Guy Verhofstadt, the Parliament's co-chair of the conference, described the interactive platform as a totally new instrument in EU's history. It will allow citizens to participate both passively and actively in the conference. The platform will serve as the engine of the conference, and its output will form the input to the next phase of the conference, the citizens' panels and plenary sessions. Here's Guy Verhofstadt.
Yeah, thank you very much. So yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, it was the 18th of April, and the 18th of April in 1951, that's 70 years ago, the first type of European cooperation and European integration was launched. It was, in fact, on the 18th of April, 1951, that the European Steel and Coal Community was launched. So I would say, we could not organize it on a Sunday. The Commission was not open, I think, yesterday. But it is a good moment to launch this digital platform as the start of our work in the Conference on the Future of Europe. And it is, in fact, an unprecedented exercise, as Commissioner Switzer has already indicated. It is not a consultation of the citizens. It's not a Eurobarometer, a consultation of the citizens, what we are launching today as the flywheel of the conference, but a totally new interactive instrument where people can participate in different ways as they want. They can participate in a passive way, simply by taking an account on the platform as a citizen of Europe and by getting information on the conference. They can participate in an active way to the conference by putting opinions or participating in a debate on opinions on the future of Europe. That's an active way. And you can even, that's the third new element, be an activist in the conference of on the future of Europe by creating your own event and elaborating, putting it on the platform that we are launching today. So that has never been done in the past. In the past, it's always, an organization where we pay for that goes to the citizen, asking their opinions, putting them in a beautiful Excel sheet and showing that to the public. This is not the case with the interactive digital platform of today. It's a little bit, I should say, the social platform, the core, the engine, the flywheel of the whole conference that gives the possibility to every citizen to participate. And the results of the platform, what comes out of the platform, because all this will lead to a number of conclusions, will be the basic material for the second phase of the conference, and as the citizens' panels that will be organized not only on regional, local level, on national level, but also for the first time on European level. I know citizens' panels is not new. We have seen that in Ireland. We have seen that in France. But it will be for the first time in history that we do it on a transnational level. Then we do it on a European framing, bringing together citizens from the 27 member states to discuss what has been achieved on the platform. And the platform will then later on take up, again, the results of the citizens' panels. So there's a reason why I'm using the word flywheel. Not I am an addict of engines, not longer of electric engines, and now not longer of other ones. But I think this is a real enormous tool that we are creating, and the purpose is naturally then later on with the conference and with the results of the citizens' panels to develop that new vision for the future of the European Union. I know that when we started this whole process a few weeks ago, and today with the launch of this interactive digital platform, there is a lot of skepsis. That's normal. But that was also the case 70 years ago. there was a lot of skepsis. When I remember that part of history very well, the British had the possibility to participate in SECA, and they refused. Winston Churchill was in favor, but the Labour government at that moment was against, because he said, steel and coal, that's for us. Let's keep that in our own hands. And they did a mistake at that moment. Well, let's not make a mistake. Let's not be skeptical by this launch of this new instrument and the start of a real new phase in European history with the preparation of the Conference of the Future of Europe.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The European Commission recently proposed new rules and actions aiming to turn Europe into the global hub for trustworthy artificial intelligence. The combination of the first ever legal framework on AI and a new coordinated plan with member states will guarantee the safety and fundamental rights of people and businesses while strengthening AI uptake, investment and innovation across the EU. New rules on machinery will complement this approach by adapting safety rules to increase users' trust in the new versatile generation of products. Margareta Vestager, Executive Vice President for a Europe Fit for the Digital Age, said, on artificial intelligence, trust is a must. Here's Margareta Vestager.
We are indeed here on the adoption of the artificial intelligence package. It is a landmark proposal of this commission. It's our first ever legal framework on artificial intelligence. It is part of a wider package, which also includes a new coordinated plan with member states and a new machinery regulation. And this package represents our European approach to artificial intelligence. It's the result of 3 years of work. Back in 2018, we launched the European AI Strategy. An AI alliance of 4,000 stakeholders was gathered to debate the societal implications of artificial intelligence. And our high-level expert group on AI developed guidelines for trustworthy artificial intelligence. This led to the publication of our white paper on artificial intelligence in February 2020. The white paper triggered a wide public debate and received more than 1,200 direct inputs from all sides of our society, from large and small businesses to NGOs to universities. Today, we aim to make Europe world-class in the development of secure, trustworthy, and human-centered artificial intelligence, and of course, in the use of it. As we put it in the white paper on AI, an ecosystem of trust goes hand in hand with an ecosystem of excellence. On the one hand, our regulation addresses the human and societal risks associated with specific uses of AI, and this is to create trust. On the other hand, our coordinated plan outlines the necessary steps for member states that they should take to boost investment and boost innovation. And that is to guarantee excellence. All this to ensure that we strengthen the uptake of artificial intelligence in Europe. Already today, artificial intelligence is bringing great benefits to our lives. And I think we've only seen the beginning of it. As we speak, it is saving lives thanks to better diagnosis. It is contributing to delivering on our Green Deal by, for instance, helping farmers optimize their resources. It is even supporting the engineers to rebuild the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And I think those examples, they illustrate very well what we want AI in Europe to be. A force for progress. But to make that possible, we need to build trust in AI systems. We can only reap the full benefits of artificial intelligence and that economic and societal potential if we trust that we can mitigate the associated risks. And to do so, our proposed legal framework doesn't look at AI technology in itself. Instead, it looks at what AI is used for and how it is used. It takes a proportional and a risk-based approach grounded on one simple logic. The higher the risk that a specific use of AI may cause to our lives, the stricter the rule. On that basis, we classify the use of AI in four different categories. As in a pyramid, in the large bottom, we find the great majority of AI applications that presents minimal or no risk at all. For instance, filters that can recognize spam so it can be blocked from getting to our inbox, or a factory use to minimize the amount of waste, optimize the use of resources. Our legal framework allows a free use of such applications without any restrictions on top of the legal rules that already exist to protect consumers. A bit higher up the pyramid are the limited risk uses of AI, such as that chatbot that help us to buy a ticket or to find the closest store to buy something that we want. Those are also allowed, but subject to transparency obligations. And the aim here is to make it crystal clear for us as users that we are interacting with the machine. Getting closer to the top of the pyramid, we find the high-risk uses of AI. And this is the main focus of our framework. The users are considered high risk because they interfere with important aspects of our lives. We are, for example, talking about artificial intelligence that filter through candidates' curriculums for application for education or application to get a job. It can be systems that will assess whether someone is worthy enough to get a mortgage from a bank, or a software that is used in self-driving cars or in medical devices and which might bring new risk to our self-safety and health. Those AI systems will be subject to a set of five strict obligations because they could potentially have a huge impact on our lives. The first one is that AI providers are required to feed their system with high quality data to make sure that the result doesn't come out as biased or discriminating. Second, they also need to give detailed documentation about how their AI system works for authorities to assess their compliance, so a sense of it can be explained. Thirdly, providers must share substantial information with users to help them understand and properly use the AI system. Fourthly, they'll have to ensure a proper level of human oversight, both in the design, but of course also in the implementation of the artificial intelligence. And finally, they must respect high standards, the highest standards of cybersecurity and accuracy. The very top of the pyramid, we find those limited uses of AI that we prohibit. And we prohibit them altogether because we simply consider them to be unacceptable. It is AI systems that use subliminal techniques to cause physical or physiological harm to someone. It can be a case where a toy that uses voice assistance to manipulate a child in doing something dangerous. Such uses have no place in Europe, and therefore we propose to ban them.
Mi dici che che non funziona più. Siamo soli adesso noi, sopra un pianeta blu. E quando arriva sera, invadi la mia sfera. Non è la primavera che non sento da un po'. Non sento da un po'. I brividi sulla mia pelle, il tuo nome fra le stelle. Sembra ieri che la sera ci stringeva quando tu stringevi me. Ricordo ancora quella sera, guardavamo le code delle navi dalla spiaggia sparire. Vedi che son qui che tremo, parla, parla, parla. Che scema non saper fingere, dentro ti amo e fuori tremo come glitch in notte. Scommetto che ora non prendi più l'abitudine di fare sempre come vuoi tu. E quando arriva sera mi manca l'atmosfera, non è la primavera. Sembra ieri, sembra ieri. Ci stringeva quando tu stringevi me. Ricordo ancora quella sera, guardavamo le code delle navi dalla spiaggia sparire. Vedi che son qui che tremo, parla, 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 parla con me. Ma forse solo dato tutto per scontato e mi ripeto che scema non saper fingere. Su treni infiniti, forse è solo che mi manca parte di un passato lontano come Marte. Tu cosa direi vedendomi arrivare quando ti raggiungerò? Ricordo ancora quella sera, guardavamo le code delle navi dalla spiaggia sparire. Vedi che son qui che tremo.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. And don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and some links to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week. And your program, Europe Today.